May Allah bless and keep you safe. Keep you safe. May Allah bless and keep you safe.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in Silsila Secrets of Health. We discuss secrets of health in this program. In specific, regarding Ramadan al-Kareem and regarding fasting and what are the benefits of fasting on our health. That is in particular we are discussing, alhamdulillah, in these series of programs. So I hope, inshallah, you will be with us from start to end and you are going to receive a great, immense amount of information today, inshallah, azza wa jal. But before we proceed ahead towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. Because my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset to make good intentions before performing any permissible task or a good deed. So my dear Islamic brothers, always make good intentions. And whenever you're going to perform any good deed or permissible task, give it a pause. Stop a bit. Think, why am I doing this? Yes, inshallah, this will help you to make good intentions. Because if you don't make any intention, then you will not be rewarded for that act. And if you want that you receive a higher reward, then the more intentions you will make, the higher the reward you will attain, inshallah, azza wa jal. Inshallah, we make this intention that we will deliver this program for the awareness, inshallah, to bring awareness to the wider communities and to the, our audience, inshallah, azza wa jal. And we would like to share information and research regarding the benefits of fasting on our health too, inshallah, azza wa jal. Because if we will be healthy, then definitely we will be in a better position to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that's one of the basic and main reason that's why we are being created, to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if we are healthy, then inshallah we can worship better, inshallah, azza wa jal. So this is one of the main reasons of doing this program. You can make this intention that you will be with us from start till end. You will remember what you learn. And it's also a good idea to note down the important points because they will help you for your revision notes later on, inshallah, azza wa jal. So let's go towards our honorable guest today, Dr. Khurram. Alhamdulillah, he is consultant in one of the UK's university hospital, and we are really honored to have him in, as our guest. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Awesome. How are you doing? You okay?
Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Inshallah. Jazakallah. Thank you very much for coming once again and giving your precious time to us. And inshallah, I hope many viewers of Madani Channel will be benefiting from the information you're going to share today. And the topic is really interesting and beautiful, and definitely would be a huge interest of many audience who are watching us. That is regarding heart. And what heart is, how does it function, what are the diseases linked and related to heart, and how can we avoid them, and what are the benefits of fasting. I think I've just explained you a complete layout of the program. So, first of all, let's talk about what is heart.
So, heart is one of the vital organs of the body. And I'm sure that, I mean, this is something which I guess everyone would be worried about and would like to preserve its health. So, medically speaking, heart is a machine which is helping perform several functions in the body. So, one of those key functions is, as everyone knows, is to pump the blood through the rest of the body. So, this would ensure oxygenation of that blood so that it reaches the lungs. And then that blood then goes through the heart and then spreads out to the body. So that is the key function. However, heart also has several other functions, which include it has a neurohumoral mechanisms through which it is related to the brain. So this is sometimes what we call brain-heart axis. And that is quite important for various these sort of secret conversations which happen between heart and brain. Then there is also this special relationship of heart with lungs, because it is a two-way street. They're both speaking to each other to ensure that they all work in a synchronized fashion. And then also, heart has the chambers of the heart. They also give some important messages depending on its dilation as well as its contraction to the rest of the body, particularly the other vital organs, for example, the kidneys. So that is the key function. We all know that heart mainly has four chambers. So the two top ones, which are called atria, and then the two bottom ones, which are called ventricles. So atria basically are the receptive portion of the heart. So this is where they would receive blood from. So the right side would receive it from the rest of the body, and then on the left side will be coming from the lungs. And then we have also the ventricles, where the key role for them is to push the blood to the rest of the body and the lungs. So that is about one function. However, there are things which for some people they may not know, is that heart also has an electric generator. So in order for these muscles to work, we know that heart is not controlled by us. So we can control our hands, our feet, because these are voluntary muscles. But then the heart is also made of muscles, but these are involuntary muscles. So the control is somewhere else. So this is in the brain stem. So in order for that to happen, for the heart to beat, it needs its own electrical conduction pathway. So that is one key part of the heart function, is to have the conduction pathway, which would help with the rhythm of the heart. So the reason why we have between 60 and 100 beats a minute, why the heart would function in that typical way. So when we exercise, for example, our heart rate goes down. When we are resting, it comes down. This is all happening because of the changes in that conduction pathway. So that is one. And then the second is the muscles of the heart. So they are quite key. And this is where, for example, in a condition like heart attack, what we're worried about is the loss of that muscle.
Very scary word you're using. That's true.
No, absolutely. So I think, I guess everyone, I mean, this is something which really people, you know, it gets their attention.
Because there are many parts of the body, right, if they are affected, so you are not worried too much. But if something, you see, straight away to the heart, so you just think of death. Isn't it?
Absolutely. So yeah, so I think so for some vital organs, absolutely, they are a difference between life and death, medically speaking, absolutely. And and I guess, again, that, you know, the things I've mentioned, that again tells us the equilibrium which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has maintained in this beautiful creation. So in the heart attack, what we're worried about is that the muscle damage which happens because of the lack of blood supply. So that muscle is at risk with heart attack. But the muscles are also at risk. So, for example, whenever muscles in the leg, for example, get fatigued, let's say we have been standing for too long or running or doing exercise, the main concern is that if the same fatigue were to set in the heart muscle, that's potentially dangerous. So it's the weakness of that muscle which leads to another condition which most people would know, and that's heart failure. So the word heart failure and heart attack,
they're two different things.
They're completely different things. So sometimes people would use them interchangeably, but medically speaking, completely different conditions. So heart attack is when there is a lack of blood supply to the heart itself, whereas heart failure, when the muscles of the heart have stopped functioning properly. So that is the second. And then the third, which we've covered, which I think is the most important people, we will discuss in more detail, and that is the though heart is supposed to send blood through the rest of the body, it needs blood for itself. So that happens through these three little blood vessels, which are called coronaries. So these are coronary arteries, and these are responsible for carrying the blood supply to the heart muscle itself. So one can imagine that this is, so, you know, That's a very brief summary of the very complex factors which are at interplay here. But there are three distinct group of diseases which can potentially happen. So if they affect the conduction system of the heart, so one of the conditions, again, nearly 25% of the population over the age of 75 can get, but it can also happen at a younger age, and it's called atrial fibrillation. So that is a problem which has happened in that electrical conduction system.
What actually happens in that?
So that's a condition where basically there is synchrony between the top chambers, the atria, and the bottom chambers, which are the ventricles. And that synchrony is happening because the electrical current, it starts at the junction, what we call SA node, sinoatrial node. So it starts there and then goes through the rest of the heart. And it ensures that everything beats in a synchronized fashion. So what happens in atrial fibrillation is because of that abnormality in that conduction system, the two portions of the heart, they become dysynchronous. So they're asynchronous, so they're actually not speaking to each other. So the atria are doing their own thing, the ventricles are doing their own thing. So that condition, there are several conditions come under that, but the commonest one is something called atrial fibrillation. Why that's important is because as a result of that, if I give a very crude example, if the heart does that, that is the proper forceful contraction of the heart, which will generate enough stroke volume to push the blood out. However, in atrial fibrillation, the ventricles are still doing that if they are healthy, but what's happening with atria is that they are doing that. So they have lost their contractility. They are just doing that. So as a result, the blood is getting getting stagnant in the atria, and then what that leads to is turbulence. And the next step of that would be that if the blood stays somewhere for a bit longer, then what happens? A blood clot.
That's true.
And that clot, if dislodges, it goes into the brain and can cause stroke. So that is the reason why that atrial fibrillation in those conditions are so important.
Yeah.
So again, I guess it comes back to that the point which I was saying is that, you know, when we read the human anatomy, it is incredible how each and every bit would
list to its point, functioning,
exactly,
order.
Exactly. And a slight disruption in that order can be a difference between life and death.
Sometimes it puts a smile on my face when I hear theories like that it was just a big balloon and it erupted and everything was created. How is it possible that that much mathematics is involved, that much correlation is involved, everything is functioning to its place, all body organs are functioning to its accuracy, accuracy, as you're explaining, there are different chambers, there are different arteries, ventricles, muscles, contractions, and everything, it's functioning in an order, and subhanallah, there is a creator who has created this, and who is controlling each and everything. This is what we need to understand. My dear Islamic brothers, this cannot just happen out of the blue. It doesn't, a mind does not accept this. Subhanallah. When you go through your own body parts and their functions and how they're functioning and how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created, then you just utter a word, Subhanallah. If you are a person of faith, then you remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Where we are talking about heart as being a physical organ, as a pumping organ, and it is linked with mind, and alhamdulillah, as doctor explained, there are so many other functions of the body, they are related to heart, other than just pumping the blood. But if we talk about spiritually, Islam has really focused on heart too much, alhamdulillah, and it has really been linked with the peace of our and tranquility of our life. And nowadays, doctor, we are finding tranquility, we are finding peace, unfortunately, in those venues where it is not found at all. You see, we are finding peace and tranquility of our mind and heart in films, in dramas, in music, in alcohol, in sins, and in pubs, and in clubs, and in drugs. But unfortunately, this peace is not there. So if you ask, where does the peace lie, then subhanallah, Quran tells us clearly and obviously, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily, peace of heart lies in the remembrance of Allah. This is Quran. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has mentioned, where are you wandering? Where are you running around? In search of peace, the peace of our heart lies in the dhikr of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. My dear Islamic brothers, Alhamdulillah, Islam has focused a lot on this organ, because this is one of the, it is also known as the head of the body parts. If it is correct, everything will be correct. If this, deviates from its path, then all the body parts, they deviate from its path. This very important organ of our body. So Alhamdulillah, Sufiya Kiram, Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, they have really focused on the tarbiyah of this heart. They have focused that this heart remains onto the straight path. You see, this is very much a deep understanding beyond how it functions and what are the other functions Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created this, as the medical science proves. But Sufiya has really focused on the heart. They really try to clean it. You see, the cleansing of the heart is very important. And if it becomes harder, then definitely, the spirituality becomes harder. So we provide food to our body. We need to provide food to this heart also. As Dr. said, there are certain vessels which provide food and blood to itself, to the heart. That's why it's functioning. Otherwise, it will stop functioning if it doesn't get its own food. So in terms of spirituality, we need to think that this heart also needs food. In terms of spirituality, we need to give food of the remembrance of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. We need to provide it food, because to our body we provide food 3 times a day, maybe 4 or 5 times a day people eat. But how much zikr do we do to provide food to this heart? That's very important. Inshallah, we'll also talk further about this topic. So let's come back to the physical part of this organ. Doctor, mashallah, very beautifully you were explaining. So I just try to elaborate how the Sufiya Ikram and they think and what Quran talks about it. And inshallah, we'll further talk on this topic also. But could you please elaborate? There are some common diseases related to heart. For the benefit of our viewers of Madani channel, what are those in very simple layman language they can understand, and how can they avoid it?
So I think the key one, which obviously everyone is worried about or creates a lot of anxiety, and that is ischemic heart disease. So I'll elaborate first on that. So as we discussed, that there are, very broadly speaking, there are 3 main groups of the heart function. So it's the muscles, the conduction pathway, and it's blood vessels. So it is the problem with the blood vessel, which is then leads to ischemic heart disease. So what does that mean? So the word ischemia, that means lack of blood supply. So this is where not enough blood supply is getting to the heart. And that is generally the function of those 3 blood vessels, which I mentioned. So these are called coronaries in short, but these are coronary arteries. And they would supply the different parts. So there is a left coronary artery and there is a right coronary artery, and they will supply the whole heart. So what would happen in a whole range of reasons, and this is what we would term cardiovascular risk factors. So what are those risk factors which lead one to develop ischemic heart disease? So I think the first and foremost, and that's where a lot of discussion nowadays is on lifestyle. So the issues we have with our lifestyle, so the so-called Western diet, so highly saturated processed foods with saturated fats. And what that is doing in turn is, one, it is causing weight gain, and the weight gain itself is a risk factor for ischemic heart disease. And second, it's doing is increasing our cholesterol burden. So the cholesterol again belongs to the whole family of what we call lipids. So cholesterol is just one part of the lipid profile. So I'm sure that people who would have checked, got their lipid profile checked regularly, So when they would receive a result, it would usually have five different types of things which would be mentioned with the lipid profile, which we'll inshallah we'll discuss later on. So that also is a knock-on effect. So what's happening as a result of all of this? So smoking, again, going back, is a major risk factor.
What are the goals here? How to avoid diseases of heart?
So certainly, so the key thing, one is the lifestyle modification. So that is eating less.
Again,
exactly. So absolutely. So coming back to fasting. So which will help with calorie restriction, which will help with keeping the weight under control, and that will have the beneficial effect of avoiding this, the issue of ischemic heart disease. So that's first. Under that also comes the issue about smoking. So absolutely no smoking at all, because any form of even a small amount of smoking would carry that harm. So that's the second. Then the third thing is, which Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Ali also keeps getting our, sort of diverting our attentions to, is the fact about lipid profile check. So making sure that our cholesterol is within limits, and if it's not, we may need to see our doctor to discuss medication.
What are the diets which carry high cholesterol levels?
So yeah, so again, a very good, I guess, which is really relevant in Ramadan. You know, so I guess in a sense, whatever we are eating in Ramadan is perhaps what we shouldn't be eating. So you know, so all these, you know, these deep fried food, which somehow
samosas, pakoras.
Exactly. So yeah, so certainly in Eastern culture, it's samosa and pakoras, but I guess in Western, it is all this deep fried chicken and chips. You know, which seems to be this almost a stale diet of our youth. But this is, you know, what carries a huge amount of, this is all processed meat, that's one issue, but also the second concern is that they are deep fried. So the amount of saturated fat in that, which just our body is unable to break down that easily. So all that's going to do is, one, it's going to cause problem with the livers, which again we will cover separately, but it will also cause issues with, as I mentioned, with the weight gain, but increasing the cholesterol. So, yeah, so I think basically what we should do is avoid the Ramadan diet, whatever that is, and actually go right to the basics. What a beautiful fast would that be of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would open with a date or water. You know, what a beautiful way of breaking fast that is. You know, the breaking fast doesn't really mean that we indulge ourselves into this huge variety of foods, all of them basically increasing our risk. And then we say, you know, when Ramadan comes and I don't feel well and I feel bloated and I have, you know, this is, we have inflicted that upon ourselves. So that is one major area. And then I mentioned about smoking. So then the other thing is that control of chronic diseases, so high blood pressure, diabetes. So those are again two key risk factors. So hypertension, we know, is extremely common. And unfortunately, it is undertreated. You know, so a lot of people would say, oh, well, I don't need to take tablets. I don't need to see my doctor. I don't need to get it checked. And hypertension is called the silent killer. It's not causing us any symptoms. People think, oh, only when my blood pressure goes up, I'll get headache. That is a complete myth. Most people will have no symptoms unless we get it checked. And the only time we might know is when we've already developed heart disease. So that's why it is so important to take proactive measures to get our blood pressure checked regularly, get our blood glucose checked regularly, especially if our weight is high. Then if for heavier people, it's even more important to get that. So yeah, so staying proactive and ensuring that prevention is better than cure.
MashaAllah, Nasser, you have explained very beautifully to the core points which should be. And the point you've made that we need to go to our GP or doctor regularly. You see, we need to get normal checks done on a regular basis. That's very important. I remember recently I went to see a patient who had his complete heart surgery was done. And I went to see him, and it was told to me that in his whole life, he was a very fit person. He did not face no problem at all. There was no apparent, you see, symptoms of him being carrying a disease of heart. But suddenly he was offering Salatul Taraweeh in the last Ramadan, and in the masjid the ambulance was called and he was taken to the hospital. And now he says that his heart is only functioning 25%. And they were given a machine, you see, and he is on machine. And that's how his heart is functioning to the level. And then, so this is the problem. So he himself was telling that in our communities, we do not go to the doctors quite often. And we avoid, and he said that if you don't find no apparent symptoms, so we don't go to the doctor. Rather, we should go on a regular basis, lipid profile checks. Amir Ahlus Sunnah, alhamdulillah, gives us a mindset that they should be checked. Our other normal checks, we should go, and blood tests should be done so that we are aware what's happening inside our body.
I think in ischemic heart disease, one of the tests which most people would be aware of is angiography. Yeah. So angio, the word angio means blood vessel. Graphy means to be able to see, like photography we say. So graphy is the same. So angiography is basically direct visualization of blood vessels. So as part of that, there is so one way to do that is to do it directly. So this direct visualization where people, so those who've had angiograms, they would know that doctors would put a small camera through a tube, either through blood vessel in the groin or through their arm, and then it will travel all the way to the heart to see what's happening with the blood vessels. So that is one way. And so, however, recently, another test which has been, which is a non-invasive test, is what is called CT coronary angiogram. So this is basically using a CT scan and giving a dye which will highlight the abnormality and give us what we call a calcium score. So this is, in a sense, a measure of the hardening of the blood vessels of the heart. So the reason why it has happened is because a plaque has established. So a plaque is basically a something which is deposited inside the blood vessel of the heart. And again, that goes back to high cholesterol, hardening of the blood vessel due to hypertension. All of those are rich, ripe substrate and medium to attract all that unwanted material sitting in the blood vessels. And what is it doing is it is narrowing the lumen of the blood vessel. So not enough blood is passing through, and that's when can manifest either as angina or, in a serious scenario, as a heart attack if the heart vessel is completely blocked. So that's why it is quite important that if a doctor recommends that someone needs an angiogram, then certainly there are different ways to do it, but one must consider it if it has reached that.
Doctor, do you think it's a good example to give to the viewers of Madani Channel an understanding about this, what you're explaining actually, that when we wash our plates in our sink, right, whatever is the fat residue, right, that goes down to the pipes, and slowly that deposit is there, and when it gets more, then our pipe gets blocked. And then we have to, you see, clear it out. And that's why if high cholesterol levels are there and they've got another unwanted substances, as you explained, that if they start getting and they're sitting there in those vessels and then they block them, do you think it's an easy way to understand that?
Absolutely. So that's exactly what's happening. So basically, it's a pipe which is getting slowly, so sometimes it gets slowly blocked because if you're not regularly cleansing it, like taking the proactive measures, getting weight under control, all of that, or because we haven't cared for it at all, and suddenly a big residue leaves a plate, goes into an already narrowed pipe, and just blocks it off completely. So, excellent example.
Absolutely. Exactly. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have talked about heart, we've talked about the physical type of it, we've talked about how does it function, and alhamdulillah, we've also talked about the normal existing diseases related to our heart, and very well explained by our Dr. Saab. And further, we also talked about the spiritual side of the heart. And dear viewers of Madani Channel, this heart is said in Arabic, qalb. Qalb means heart. And there is a beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam with regards to heart, because it is called qalb because it keeps changing. It keeps changing. So the state of heart also keeps changing. So that's why it's called qalb. And it has been said by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, this dua has been taught to us, that Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. And we pray to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, our heart stays onto the right path. It doesn't change. So this is a dua. We ask prayer for its steadfastness, so it remains onto the right path on iman. And that's very important. The link of heart and iman, that's very much intact. Inshallah, we'll cover this topic in our next upcoming episode, because we're going to cover, it's a very lengthy topic, so we have decided to cover in two episodes. So one we've heard today, and inshallah Zawajan, the upcoming episode we'll be talking about other heart related diseases and how in specific fasting can help, alhamdulillah, to improve the health of our heart and other spiritual benefits. Keep watching the Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam.
May Allah bless and keep you safe. Keep you safe. May Allah bless and keep you safe.